So all my days on earth I will await the moment that I see you face to face.
So here we go. It's looking pretty good. Joseph, starting out as a prisoner, starting out as a slave in a foreign country for sins he had never committed. I mean, he never did anything deserving of having been sent to, you know, sold into slavery by his own brothers, trying to destroy the man's life. Isn't it interesting how so often the very people that some folks work so hard to destroy are the very people who one day they'll need to turn to for their own salvation, to be rescued themselves. Joseph honored by having been promoted to the second highest ranking position in the nation of Egypt, which made him one of the most powerful men on earth at the time, because as it turns out, Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth at that time. So he led the charge. Joseph went about leading the charge of making sure that during the years of plenty of food, wheat, grain, etc., the various districts of Egypt had their various storehouses, the various cities had their storehouses, and food was being saved to the point where they could no longer count it. The amount that was being saved, set aside for the time when the famine would come. The famine did come, and it was so severe that not only did it hit Egypt hard, but it hit many of the countries surrounding Egypt very, very hard. We've been asking the question, how are we doing? Here's another one of those how are we doing moments. Joseph is in Egypt overseeing all that needs to be done to make sure that the food is distributed, the people are taken care of. And he begins to entertain people from other countries who are also coming to Egypt to get relief from the famine, droughts that lead to famines. And Joseph's brothers ended up being sent to Egypt to get some food, to take back to Jacob's household so that they wouldn't starve to death. They went there and they met their brother Joseph, not realizing they were talking to their brother. All they knew is they were talking to the second highest ranking man in the nation about their food needs. And that's all they knew. Now let me fast forward through several other exchanges. It turns out that Joseph sent for his father's entire household and had them relocate to Egypt to live there for the rest of their lives. And wouldn't you know it, that not only did Joseph end up ruling over his brothers, because remember now, by the time they relocated to Egypt, he was the second highest ranking man in the nation. He ruled over everyone except the king himself. So when Joseph's brothers and his father, his mother had already died, when his brothers and his father relocated to Egypt, Joseph was ruling over them. Isn't it interesting that not only was Joseph ruling over them, but as I said before, Joseph is the very one through whom God worked to spare them from starvation. The very people who hated Joseph, the very brothers who despised him and resented him and worked so hard, so diligently to destroy him, found their salvation in Joseph, through Joseph. And when I say salvation, I'm not talking about the salvation that delivers us from sin and the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. I'm talking about the salvation from death, from starvation. God saved those very people who hated his faithful servant through the faithful servant. How many people today have been working diligently to destroy someone through whom God will one day deliver them. Is it possible? Still asking the question, how are we doing? Is it possible that God orchestrated the drought that led to the famine that brought Joseph's family to Egypt? That not only brought Joseph's family to Egypt, but before bringing Joseph's family to Egypt, had Joseph elevated to a very, very powerful position, a very honorable position. Remember, God gave Pharaoh the dreams, letting him know what was getting ready to take place. And when Joseph interpreted the dreams, he told the Pharaoh that God had revealed to him what was soon to take place, and it would surely take place. That's why he showed him in doubles, the same exact dream, but in two different forms. Cows, wheat, famine, plenty and famine in both dreams, letting him know it is sure to come to pass. Who orchestrated that? I know a lot of people would like to conclude that it just happened. Just a series of coincidences led to all of that coming into play. And that is certainly one way to view it. That is one way to view it. Is it also possible that another viable view would be that God orchestrated it in light of the fact that God had shown Joseph years prior to that, that Joseph would one day be ruling over his brothers? And then some years later, he revealed to the baker and the cupbearer what their fates would be. And one of those, the one who survived and was restored to his position, remembered Joseph and told the Pharaoh, "I know someone who interpreted my dream and my fellow servant's dream. He can interpret yours as well." All of those dots being connected all the way up the line to where Joseph was elevated to that outstanding position, and he had his family brought to Egypt so that they would not starve to death. Is it possible that God orchestrated that? Is it possible that God has been orchestrating some of the negative circumstances in our lives for the purpose of bringing about good somewhere down the road? Remember, Joseph told them, "You meant to do evil." Oh, yes, we know when the people who we worship with mean to do us evil. Some of the people who are in our own families mean to do us evil. Folks we work with mean to do evil. And God using even their evil to get us to the place where he wants us to be. Because he is God, the master coordinator of circumstances, the master arranger of circumstances that bring to the end that he wants. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, so that many, many lives would be saved through this." Many lives, and not just the lives of Jacob's family, but the lives of many people who came from other countries in addition to those who lived in Egypt. And so Joseph's family, Jacob and his brothers, moved to Egypt. They relocated there. They stayed there. And the family grew and grew and grew and grew until they had over 1 million Israelites living in Egypt. For decades, they lived there, growing and growing and growing and growing. Until finally, another man rose to power as the Egyptian king, the Pharaoh. He didn't know Joseph. He had no relationship with Joseph, who had died long before he came to power. This new Egyptian king came to power. And he looked at one thing. Those Israelites are too numerous. There are too many of them. Before we know it, they will be taking over the country. He decided to abuse them severely, and he abused them and abused them and abused them to the point where they finally started crying out to God for mercy and deliverance. I'll tell you more about it